This is Roy Tyler.
Sorry, Roy, not this week.
This is Paul Kupperberg, and you're listening to Scott Martin Hijacks the Power Cosmic Podcast. This cannot end well.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further. Normally, each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrificon and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booths A89 and 90, talk about the stuff you love, comics, movies, toys, and more. But this week, longtime comic fan and third member of Jerry Ordway's favorite group, the Go-Go Checks, but not so legendary Scott Martin, has hijacked the Power Cosmic Podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on which time zone you are listening to this. I'm Scott Martin, recording in stately Martin manner, and as the intro said, I have hijacked the Power Cosmic Podcast. And let me tell you, it was no easy task. I had to lure Mitch Halleck away from his home with a trail of Frank Pepe pizza slices that took him and his faithful companion Harley in circles around their neighborhood. Ooh, a slice of pizza. Ooh, another slice of pizza. Ooh, another slice of pizza. And I had to lock John Cimino in his basement dungeon where he normally keeps Roy Thomas chained up. You probably have heard Mitch and John mention my name quite a few times in the past 68 episodes during the past year and a half. And you've probably been wondering, who the heck is Scott Martin? Or not. I'll spare you my autobiography and I'll just say I'm a longtime comic book fan. Although we didn't meet at it, it was sometime after attending Mitch's terrific convention in Bridgeport in 2014 that we became friends, amigos, goombas, etc. Or as he refers to me, Facebook stalker. But he's just kidding. I hope. So let's get this show going. Has everyone seen Thor Ragnarok yet? If you haven't, you need to go. Now. Well, not now. Please finish listening to this podcast, and then go see it. As I mentioned on Facebook, Thor Ragnaroks. This is easily the best Thor movie of the three, and I rank it sixth in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Everything just clicked. The story, the acting, the comedy, the effects, the music, the Easter eggs, and some very cool cameos. I give it an 8.5 out of 10, but there are a couple of things I didn't like. For example, the destruction of Mjolnir, which I understand was at Chris Hemsworth's request, because he didn't like that he had to carry the hammer all the time. And what's up with Thor's eye? I get that it's a reference to Odin, since Thor will now be the King of Asgard, but is this something that happened in the comics? I was never really a Thor reader, so I really don't know. I know he had both eyes the last time that I read a comic book with him, which was during the Kurt Busiek and George Perez Avengers run. I'm not sure if we need to have two heroes wearing eye patches in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Certainly Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury wears it better. Yesterday morning, my son came downstairs and asked me, "Why does it smell like the Mohegan Sun down here?" Puzzled, I looked back at him and said, "Do you smell cigarettes, booze, and Gina Tay perfume?" And he said, "No, Krispy Kreme coffee." I laughed because I recently switched my home coffee from Dunkin' Donuts to Krispy Kreme, and Krispy Kreme is one of my son's favorite places to go while he's at Terrificon. But just for the fresh donuts, he's not really a coffee drinker. And speaking of the Mohegan Sun, don't forget that the second annual Connecticut GamerCon will be taking place March 24th and 25th at the Mohegan Sun Convention Center. Tickets are on sale now, and they're only $20 per day, and weekend passes only $30. $30 for 2 days! Kids 10 and under are admitted for free. However, there is a 2 free kid ticket limit per paid adult ticket. And I know what you're thinking. Hey Scott, where can we buy tickets? Well, I'll tell you. You can buy tickets at the door on the show days, but don't wait. Buy early. Tickets make great birthday or holiday gifts. Plus, you can avoid missing out if they sell out. You can buy Connecticut GamerCon tickets directly at the Mohegan Sun box office, which is open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Or you can order your tickets online via Ticketmaster. But please note, buying tickets online incurs Ticketmaster fees. Buy on site at the Mohegan Sun and you can avoid these charges. Make it a fun day at Mohegan Sun. Drop into Connecticut GamerCon, play some games, shop for cool stuff, dress up for the cosplay contest, and then take a break and grab some awesome food at one of the 50-plus places to eat. It's a destination full of fun, excitement, and memories. And why not make it a weekend getaway and stay over at the Mohegan Sun, which was voted best hotel in Connecticut? There's a special Connecticut GamerCon rate. Please see ctgamercon.com for more details. I can tell you from the past 3 years I've stayed at the Mohegan Sun, it is a fantastic hotel. So much to do, so many places to eat, so many places to drink. And if you are a gambler, I understand that's a pretty good place to go to. Now let's talk about comic books. I'm not one for modern or current comics, but I made it a point to pre-order Captain America number 695, the first issue of Mark Waid's third run on Captain America, because I have a tendency to support projects by creators that I've enjoyed in the past, and since it's Mark Waid, you know, can't go wrong there, right? And since I actually pre-ordered it, naturally, my local comic book shop did not save a copy for me. Luckily, they still had two copies on the rack when I went in on the Friday after it was released. I found Chris Samnee's art a bit too cartoony for my tastes, and the three-page backup story by Robbie Thompson and Valerio Schitti was just a rehash of Mark Waid's first page. Overall, it was a decent read and jumping on point. I'll give it a few more issues to see what happens. Next up, I picked up Bane Conquest number 7 by Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan, two of the three co-creators of Bane. I have no affinity for Bane, as he was created after I stopped reading the Batman titles, but I've been a fan of Graham Nolan since his days on Doom Patrol, but mostly from his work on the Phantom Sunday newspaper strips. And truth to tell, I'm enjoying this Bane limited series. There have been guest appearances by Batman and Catwoman, and a new version of Cobra. There's enough action and plot to keep me interested to make it through all 12 issues. I also picked up the Archie Halloween Spectacular. I was never one for Archie comics, even when I was a kid, but this issue features a story by Paul Kupperberg, so I didn't want to pass it up. And speaking of Paul Kupperberg, I also picked up Charlton Arrow Volume 2 Number 1, which is no longer a mail-order-only publication. Charlton Neo has partnered with AC Comics to distribute their series in comic shops. The first issue features an E-Man cover by Joel Staton, and an all-new E-Man story by Nicola Cuti and Joe Staton as well. And there's a Colonel White Shroud Monster Hunter story by Paul Kupperberg and Mike Collins, and a new character called Mr. Mixit by Roger McKenzie and Stephen Butler. And if you look over Mr. Mixit, you'll see a lot of homages to past Steve Ditko characters like Spider-Man, Captain Atom, the Blue Beetle, the Creeper. Pretty unique. There are also two additional stories by Paul Kupperberg and Roger McKenzie. Like the very first Charlton Arrow, it's a decent package, but the cover price is $7.99. So if you have no nostalgia for Charlton comics, it might not be your cup of tea. I hope with future issues the price goes down a bit. Also recently released was a Kickstarter project that I backed, Die Kitty Die Hollywood or Bust by Dan Parent and Fernando Ruiz. I haven't read it yet, but I did read the first volume and it was worth the backing price. I've met both Dan and Fernando on the convention circuit a few times, and they are great guys, and they both formerly worked for Archie Comics. While there is a story about Key Ravenscraft, the witch, the story is chock full of knocks on Archie Comics, Harvey Comics, and the comic book industry itself. I understand for this second volume they did release it as a four-issue series in comic shops. I recommend that you pick it up in whichever format you prefer. Is this where I'm supposed to do the Slab Pro commercial? I can't find my copy. Okay, just look up Louis Perry or The Angry Geek Show on Facebook, and you can find all the information about Slab Pro that you could want. Louis's done some videos for them, and he's much more talented with computer special effects than me. So, look him up and tell him Scott Martin sent you. I believe I am Angry Geek approved. Maybe I'm not. Who knows? Okay, give me a second, we'll get back to the show. Now for the final topic of this week's show. You hear the music. That's right, SWAT. CBS had been hyping Shamar Moore in SWAT all summer long, and I had no clue who he was. So I googled him and found that he was on The Young and Restless for over 10 years and on Criminal Minds for 11 years. I never watched either show, but then I saw that he was on Birds of Prey for its 13-episode season. I barely remember Birds of Prey and have no recollection of more on the show. I believe he might have been a police detective that had some sort of relationship with the Huntress, but I really don't remember. In any event, after the disappointing 2003 movie, I had no hopes for this new version of SWAT, especially after CBS ruined Hawaii 5-0. I watched the first two episodes with a skeptical eye, and it was as bad as I thought it would be. Hondo is having an affair with a superior officer. There are two SWAT teams that are competing with each other for favor in their boss's eyes. And they make it look like these two SWAT teams are the only police in Los Angeles, with the exception of one black and white patrol unit. Now, I haven't seen an episode of the original SWAT since the 70s, but I know that I loved it. All boys loved it. Kids thought SWAT was cool, and we would run outside with our toy guns and play SWAT. We would turn our baseball caps backwards because we saw the team do it on TV. Granted, what worked on 1970s TV doesn't work for 2017 TV, but this new SWAT is not worthy of the legacy of the original series. No kid is going to play outside and say, "I'm Hondo." They should just have called it something else and renamed the characters, which is pretty much the same thing I say about all rebooted TV series. Okay, now it's time for the call-in segment for our show. So anybody want to call in and talk movies, TV shows, comic books, games, toys, whatever. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. We're a podcast, not a live radio show, so I guess nobody will be calling in with any questions. That's unfortunate, but I guess it's okay. Oh, okay. That's Mitch Halleck's ringtone on my cell phone. He's probably wondering what I'm doing to his podcast. So I'm just going to ignore that call and get on to ending the show. So, yes, I guess I better end the show now. So I want to thank everyone for listening to Scott Martin Hijacks the Power Cosmic Podcast. And I'd like to thank my co-host, Noah Body, PhD, for not being here. And if you get that reference, I'll buy you a milkshake at the next Terrificon. I'd also like to thank Paul Kupperberg for his wonderful introduction to the show. One day we'll get a couple of egg creams, Paul. My treat. Or yours. And I want to thank the Connecticut Joker, Rich Davis, for his special guest appearance that he doesn't know about. And, of course, a special thanks to Millionaire Mitch and Dollar Menu Johnny, the powers behind the Power Cosmic Podcast, for their weekly bits of wit and wisdom. And how do we end every episode, Johnny?
And that's that.
That's right, Johnny. And that's that. I'll now turn the Power Cosmic Podcast back over to Mitch Halleck and John Cimino.
Hey everybody, it's Mitch Halleck from the Power Cosmic Podcast, and I'm live here in Edison, New Jersey at the Garden State Comic Expo, and Mr. John Cimino is not here with me right now. He's recovering from seeing the Justice League movie, and he called me this morning on the way down here, and he was bouncing off the walls, and he is now a devout DC fan, and he's reneged on Marvel, and he hates Marvel, and he's all DC. So, since he's defected, I figured I must get Mr. Are you looking for Kevin? He'll be back. No. I think he's at a panel with Keith right now on the Justice League, but he's not going anywhere. I'll tell him you're looking for him, Tom. All right. If they're there, they're that way. That was Mr. Tom DeFalco, former editor and writer of Marvel Comics, rudely interrupting the Power Cosmic. How dare he? But anyway, like I said, Mr. Cimino has jumped ship. So you've heard his name mentioned on the show if you listen to it every week. Mr. Scott Martin is now playing the role of John Cimino. Can you pull it off, Scott? Do you have enough enthusiasm and potential energy?
Hey, Mitchie, how you doing?
It sounds nothing like him whatsoever. But we're here in
my Cimino voice.
You're trying to do your Cimino voice. Yeah, you don't have enough Boston accent to do that. So we're sitting here. Actually, we're at Keith Giffen's table because Keith's not here right now. We could put something in his coffee to really flip him out. And we're waiting to see where he will be. But anyway, since we're here and I got time and I'm trying to fill some space. So tell me, what is the secret origin of Scott Martin? What was the very first comic book you ever read, Scotty?
Well, the very first comic I ever read was Justice League of America number 100 in August 1972.
Okay.
my father had started a tradition back then when I was 5 years old. On every payday, he would take me to a soda shop,
yeah,
and we get an egg cream pretzel. And at this point in time, he allowed me to pick out a comic book from the racks.
Yeah.
And I saw, well, I looked over the racks, saw that cover with all those superheroes, yeah, on it, and I had to have it.
Yeah.
You know, I was familiar with superheroes from watching Batman on TV, the Spider-Man cartoon, right, the Filmation shorts,
right,
and all that jazz. So that's how I got into it.
Yeah, and I said before, this week we talked about the Justice League. As a kid, that was the biggest bang for your buck because you got all those superheroes in one book. You're like, oh my God, why wouldn't I get all that? And so what was your exposure to the TV world? Which shows did you watch? Did you watch all the same ones we did, Batman, Superman, Hulk, and all that? Or was there one particular? Were you an Electric Company Spider-Man guy?
like most kids our age, or our age then,
yeah,
you know, I watched, you know, Batman on PIX. The Lone Ranger on the weekends on, I think it was WNYW maybe.
Well, if you lived in the New York area, it was NEW was Channel 5, WPIX was Channel 11, and WOR was Channel 9. And WNET was Channel 13. That was the public, that was the sophisticated, that was PBS.
Right, and they always showed the Flash Gordon serials, Buck Rogers,
yeah,
on their...
It was Channel 9 that did.
Well, no, also Channel 13.
They did? I only remember Channel 9. I remember there used to be something called...
All Night Long.
They used to, oh, really? There was something called Saturday Matinee that they used to show weekly on PBS. They used to show the serials like Lost City of the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? I was watching that for years. It was like the feature and the serials and the newsreels. All that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to watch all that. But the public access Channel 13, they always showed like... they're in their pledge drives.
Yes.
Friday nights, they would show Flash Gordon nonstop, all 13 or 14 episodes, and then move on to another serial. It was fantastic stuff back then.
See, I never liked Flash Gordon, but I liked Buck Rogers. Very weird.
Just the opposite.
Same Buster Crabbe.
I didn't like Buck Rogers, because to me, it just seemed like a copy of Flash Gordon.
Oh, really? No, see, I don't like
But that. I believe Buck Rogers might have been first.
Oh, and then did you watch Johnny Weissmuller as Tarzan on Channel 9? They used to have the Tarzan shows, too.
I believe my dad used to watch those.
Yeah.
I did not. I was never.
You were not into Tarzan, huh?
I didn't care for Tarzan because that horrible Mego action figure.
Oh yeah, where he was wearing the long johns. I had that one.
Long johns, exactly.
Yeah, no, it was something. But you were always a DC guy, not a Marvel guy. What's going on here?
I actually DC's Justice League, like I said, was my first comic book. But then after that, I switched right over to Captain America, the Avengers, and stuff like that. And when I became old enough that I had my own money, around 1977 or so, my own allowance, it was strictly Marvel.
Oh, there you go. Now you're talking sense. I think we might get thrown out of here in a second because I did see that people are, what you call it, Keith Giffen's thing. I'm a big fan of Keith Giffen. I love the Justice League. I was a big Omega Man fan. Did you ever read those books in the 80s? No.
I was not into the Omega Men.
He did the X-Men meet. The Teen Titans, I remember that.
No.
That was Keith Giffen, wasn't it? That was Simonson. Simonson did the art. Who wrote the story, though?
Chris Claremont.
Oh, Chris Claremont. You're right. See, it's all over. I tell you, I think the golden age for me as a comic book fan was the 80s. That's when you had your, Kraven's Last Hunt, The Secret Wars, all that stuff. More than the 70s. I mean, the 70s had some stuff, but the 80s seemed to be one big event after another. That's what I remember.
Well, we had many classic stories in the 70s, such as, like, the Celestial Madonna story in the Avengers.
Yeah. The
Dark Phoenix saga, Korvac saga. But in the 80s, everybody turned it up a notch.
Yeah.
I mean, you had your classic stories, like you mentioned, Kraven's Last Hunt, Secret Wars, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Right, all that, yeah.
And, you know, and even your standard monthly titles had some just excellent storylines going on.
Right.
New Teen Titans, All-Star Squadron, and even the Independents.
Yeah.
John Sable, Freelance, American Flag by Howard Chaykin. Excellent stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the 90s were fun and stuff. Yes, sir. Oh, it's you, David. How are you? I didn't recognize you.
Dave, now.
We're joined here right now. We're recording our podcast, and we're killing some time. And Mr. David Deventer, as I say it right?
Absolutely.
He's the cosplay extraordinaire, Garden State's number one cosplayer, who you might see online as everything from one of the best Nick Furies ever, the Jim Steranko Nick Fury with the eye patch and the cigar. Also, Starsky and Hutch was one of the highlights of my life, seeing that. And I can't ever thank you for being the only other person besides myself to ever cosplay as Kolchak the Night Stalker. That was genius. I love that. I saw that. And as when I did it as a kid in the 70s, they all said, why are you dressed like a hobo? And you wrote to me, you said, I will avenge your costume as an 8-year-old. And how many people called you a hobo?
Everyone under 35 had no idea who I was.
I know.
They thought I was someone's grandfather on a Florida vacation. But those over the age of 35 knew damn well I was Carl Kolchak, the Night Stalker.
From the INS service, Independent News Service, right?
Yes.
And did you have your bag of Kolchak stuff? Did you have your cross? Did you bring a little sack?
Absolutely.
Did you have the salt, the rock salt, to kill the zombie and sew his lips together?
Couldn't find that at Home Depot. Couldn't find it.
Oh, no.
I told Tony Vincenzo to get me some, but he didn't.
Yes, and then what was the lady's name that did the crossword puzzles? Miss Marble? Miss whatever her name was?
I'll have to Google that.
Oh, no, Google. Oh, I see you're here with the old Wonder Woman.
Retired
Wonder Woman is here as well. See, that's one of the things when you come to these conventions, you never know who you're going to see. All right, David's going to get her. And we were talking about the golden age of the 80s and such and why there was never a better time to be. Oh, he's bringing her back, or she's too busy making time over there. Because he's got pictures of Martin and Lewis. And who is that guy? Is he Jerry's illegitimate son? He's laughing, right? I don't know. We don't know. But you're also known as one of the best Batman cosplayers in the Garden State. Not to be confused with the Empire State. And our friend, we were keeping your seat warm.
Is that Keith Giffen? That's Keith Giffen.
That's Keith Giffen, yeah.
And Kevin McGuire.
And Kevin, you do? They're back. Some guy's looking for you. Some jam piece. Yeah.
Okay.
See? Famous. Oh, he's David's cleaning himself up. Aquaman wants to meet you. He's got shells in his hair just for you. And that looks like popcorn, actually. Look at
that.
Keith is so excited to be here. Aquaman's, there's a conch shell in his pants. Or you're here, you're excited to see me.
Did you tell the listeners what type of Aquaman?
Oh, I'm sorry. What type of Aquaman are you?
This is a hybrid Aquaman.
Mermaid Man from SpongeBob?
No. Well, maybe.
Okay.
It's a hybrid Aquaman. Utilizing the color palette of the original Super Friends Aquaman, which is orange and green.
Right.
With the more modern Jason Momoa, hairy, whatever, white zombie version.
And a crutch is your trident.
I am very old.
Oh, dating, I get it.
Dating retired Wonder Woman has aged me.
The light both went on our heads at the same time. I'm like, his crutch, his trident is a crutch as well. Now I get it, and he's dating old Wonder Woman.
Let's not forget, in the past, I've been retired Superman. I've been nursing home Batman. And now I am assisted living Aquaman.
You're the low tide version.
Very low.
I like that. Ew.
Blistering barnacles.
Suffering seahorses. Quick, what was Aquaman's seahorse's name?
Storminant.
Sparky.
Now he's old. He doesn't remember his name was what now, Scotty?
Storm was Aquaman's and Imp was Aqualad's.
Imp? Aqualad's seahorse was called Imp? Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure.
Yes.
Sure. It's all coming back to you now, right?
Yes, I just checked the Atlantean database.
Oh, very good.
Ah, Bach.
My flip phone.
A flipper, get it? You know.
I do. Yes, very good. I'm actually impressed he still uses a camera.
I have some great sperm whale jokes. Would you like to hear them? Hold on, let me get retired Wonder Woman.
Oh, all right.
She's the punchline in all my jokes.
I see, yes.
And I mean punch.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Oh.
He's supposed to be.
You can't talk about that these
no,
days.
I mean she punches me.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's like a Kukla, Fran, and Ollie type of thing. Punch and Judy.
Last time we went out, I gave her crabs.
Oh. Oh. He's also, he'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Try the sea veal.
Feel free to edit this later.
Oh, yeah, it will be. You actually think this is going to air, which is even more presumptuous.
Have you noticed that my Aquaman sounds a lot like Rankin Bass Santa Claus?
No, but sure, why not? Yeah. Now that you told us, now that he mentioned it, he shoved it down our throat. We had no choice.
On the nose.
Oh, no, I don't know. Oh, there's a. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians?
I know that guy.
I bet you do. Scott's also one of the law enforcement agencies, so when he says I know that guy, I'm always afraid they're going to like throw him to the ground and pepper spray him. I know, there's smoke. Wow. And when there's smoke, there's... Oh, he wants us to go. All right, I'm going over here. We're walking. We're coming over here. Hello. Hey, actually, he brought... What do you want me... You want me to say something?
I'd like you to meet retired Wonder Woman, and I want you to feel just how sickening you will become talking to her. Go ahead.
Okay.
Did you say feel? Touch? I charge if you want to touch.
That's all right. I'm good.
Social Security doesn't go all the way anymore. I do, but the check doesn't.
Describe to your listeners what she looks like, her physical appearance, please.
Kind of like my grandmother if she was in a gym suit back in the 80s, possibly.
Listen, sweetheart. Gravity was the only crime I could never fight. Let's just end it right there.
I didn't know Paradise Island was over in Long Island, but that's fine.
You know what? You know,
Paradise Long Island, sounds like.
You know why we called it Paradise Island? The liquor stores were open 24 hours.
Ah, boom, boom, boom. Anybody?
Have you ever seen breasts hang this low on a woman?
Only when I drop the National Geographics in the mud.
Are you kidding me? The fellas love the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a 36 long.
She's a 36 long. Anytime now. When is this going? When does the show start? We don't know.
This is it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was this free? I didn't have to pay for this, right? Because I'd like my money back.
We're warming up.
Oh, warming. It gets better.
Everything's Aquaman. It took him 5 movies to show up.
Right.
Aquaman. All kidding aside, she was just featured prominently on the hit NBC series America's Got No Talent.
Oh, America's Got No Talent. That's funny.
I did make it all the way to the AGT stage. I required assistance getting off.
Anytime now, Scott. Jump in, please.
I got 4 buzzes. I got 4 buzzes, but I got news for you. I was already buzzed.
All right. She's retired Aquaman. This and that. All right. Is this going anywhere? If this was an animal, I would have chewed my arm off by now and get out of this bear trap.
I don't think Aquaman's ever had any trouble getting it off.
I have one more aquatic joke.
Oh, okay.
I think she's been seeing Namor, the Submariner, behind my back.
Was the scene the punchline in that one?
No, you're supposed to say, how do you
know? Oh, how do you know?
Because the other night when we were making love, she screamed, Imperious Rex.
Oh, wow, that's reaching. It's really bad.
It's the delivery. It's just, it has no delivery.
A tumor. Yeah, I know. I read him. That's why I'm here and not at medical school right now. I wasted my life. But, you know, it's a living, right? We all waste our lives. Look at us now. Doctors are home, retired right now, having affairs with their nurses. We're here. You're dressed up, and I'm interviewing you.
Terrificon. When are you going to book me?
When am I going to put you? What does that mean? Like out with the trash? What does that mean?
When are you going to book me?
You expect to be paid? Did it get cold in hell yet?
Social Security doesn't go all the way anymore.
You could show up. It's a free country. It shows not free, though.
Just when I thought I've hit rock bottom, I look over and you're interviewing me.
Oh, that's really bad. Here's the show. He's always invited. If David wants to share a room with you, that's one story. Look at that. A retired Wonder Woman.
All business card and everything.
Look at that. She really does. Here, should I give you my card? Is this like an Asian thing, like in Japan, where they give each other cards? Oh, Domenimatsu. Yeah, nice to meet you.
Mr. Roboto.
Egg Foo Young. Cream is some young guy. Well, it's all hitting the fan.
Are you two together?
No, I'm married for 24 years. He's a policeman. But we're here right now together, if that's what you mean.
Brokeback Comic-Con? Brokeback Comic-Con.
Accidentally, why not, sure.
It's not a bad idea for
a show. Oh, yeah.
There's a demographic out there for that.
You quit. Complete the con.
There you go.
Okay,
I
we're
do
just...
conversion therapy.
Do you really? Like straight, metric?
If you're not straight by the time I'm through with you, I won't care.
All right. Anytime now.
I don't have anything.
Unfortunately, this was on the entire time. You know that? Is this on? Okay, well, I can say it's been a pleasure. David's like, yes, David, you're beckoning me.
Very, very happy to be a part of your all-time lowest rated episode.
Oh, yes, this is right. We wouldn't even get a test pattern. We're the test pattern of podcasts, right? Aquaman. How does he talk with all that water in his mouth? Ooh. He's used to the liquid in his mouth. Remember that gum that used to squirt in your mouth?
Yes, what are you getting at?
Nothing. You said gum, right?
I prefer SpongeBob and Patrick over it.
Together at the same time?
Oh, anything other than him. Ew. You know, it's not the motion of the ocean, it's how big the boat is.
They bring their own lubricant out here.
What are you looking at?
Nothing much. That's an that's a decat. Okay, that's kind of a. All right. All hell is broken loose here. David is giving me the cutoff sign. Like, that didn't happen 20 minutes ago when he came over to me.
I can't believe the power button is still on.
I was hoping the battery would die, but unfortunately I charged it up last night.
We died before the
battery. Oh, yes, you did. Yeah, quite some time ago.
Aquaman.
He's always trying to...
Aqua.
Don't be
Aqua.
A pain in the ass.
Beyonce, I don't know.
He's always trying to correct me. I think he's got irritable vowel syndrome.
Ah, irritable vowel. Boy, the electric company must be so sad that you quit the show. They went to the solar... we're out of here.
I'll bet you were a looker before electricity.
You have a voice for podcasting.
That's good time.
Am I supposed to go? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. She has nothing for that.
I don't understand all that.
I don't understand it either.
My VCR is still blinking 12 o'clock.
All right. I'm waiting for the lithium to kick in. Anytime now. I'm trying to. I'm backing away, and you're coming towards me.
No.
It's not helping. I'm trying to get away
to the men's room.
Oh, okay.
Out.
A weak bladder. I see.
Tag me in that. Make all sure right. You tag me.
Yeah, I'll tag you. Right.
Follow me on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. I will.
Just don't follow me to the toilet. I've had burritos.
I'm not. Okay. I'm headed this way. Ron Mars, help me. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And then when we come back, we'll film the actual episode.
Oh yeah, this was just a rehearsal. Bye.
Nothing like a dress rehearsal.
Call me.
I'll call you.
Page me. I got a page.
I got something to say about you over here, but I'll call you too.
Call
bye.
Like 6241.
Oi. See? Everybody's kids, stay in school. I beg you, stay in school. Get a real job, right? Get a job, period.
For a real job.
Yeah. Anyway, where were we?
I forget now.
I don't know.
Keith Giffen interrupted us.
I know Keith Giffen did. There's a talented Scott Hanna. He's drawing. He's a good drawer. Not like the kind you put your socks in. The king of the unicorns over there, Tom Rainey. We're trying to record a podcast. We're at that late. We're
a goal.
You got to have a goal. You never know. Vampirella, God. What would happen? Good thing she's eternally young. You know what you would have to be? Because I was going to say, that would be something if she suddenly had gravity affect her. It would not be her...
Yeah,
it would be a little bit more, you know, more duct tape in that outfit, you know? Ew.
I think everybody's going to play retired Vampirella.
I hope not. God, that woman, retired Wonder Woman. She actually gave me her business card.
I saw that, yes.
Look at that. That's insane. Look at this. Yeah. Retired...
I've seen her before.
Oh, yeah. We heard her here before, too. Before we were rudely interrupted. Why do you like comic? What was your very first Comic-Con, Scott?
My very first one was New York Creation Con, probably 1980 or 81.
And who was the big guest that day?
Big Venom.
Back then, they didn't have announced guests.
Oh, whoever showed up.
Artists and writers just showed up from Marvel and DC.
Did you ever see Jack Kirby?
No. Stan Lee, yes. John Byrne.
Yeah?
Walt Simonson.
I've seen all those people, yes. Gene Day, perhaps?
No.
He was dead by then.
Gene Day, no, or very soon around that time.
Yeah. Who is your favorite artist you ever met at a show?
Ever met at a show?
Yeah.
George Perez.
Okay. Who was your favorite writer you ever met at a show?
Roy Thomas, of course.
That's true. That's Roy. Followed maybe by Steve Englehart, maybe?
He was a fantastic guest last year at Terrificon.
Who is somebody I haven't had at the show that you want to see that's not Stan Lee?
Jerry Conway.
Yeah, all right. We're working on it. Got some surprises already. I already announced one this week on the show.
Oh, yes. I fell off my seat when you announced
Did
Tony
you really?
Isabella.
Oh, you really? Because I had that for a while. I was like, I'll throw it out there and see if anybody cares.
Did you see the eye roll just now?
Oh. Oh, no.
Didn't see the eye roll?
No, I did not. I wasn't paying attention. Look at Jerry drawing. Jerry Ordway, ladies and gentlemen, chairman of the board.
Jerry
Ordway. Nicest guy in comics.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Rock steady.
This guy was online behind me at 11:30.
Oh, my God. Seriously? He's been here all this time?
Absolutely.
Waiting for Jerry?
Jerry's very popular at cons.
He is. And he doesn't wear pants. Many people don't know that.
Well.
Underneath that table, it's all pure Ordway.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
You listen to the Power Cosmic every week. Why?
Because you pay me.
That's true. Now, I can tell. Is this guy a real cop or is he just dressed like one?
He's been here since I got here at 10:30.
He's loaded for bear. Huh?
He's got all his gadgets.
He's got his
pistol, his baton. He's got his emergency call-out button. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's legit, probably.
I hope so.
You never know nowadays, because you could buy a lot of that stuff at, like, Jimmy's Army Navy.
Yeah, he's got his, you know, body armor. It says police.
Yeah, it seems a little bit excessive. But anyway,
I saw a guy wearing a shirt that said Superman, so I assume that's Superman. Yeah.
Exactly. I saw one wearing Scott Kolbisch. That means, doesn't mean he's really Scott Kolbisch.
He's gone, too, now.
Everybody's gone.
Whatever.
So, you said you'd like to see Mr. Jerry Conway. What about an artist?
Oh, let's see. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
What's the funniest thing John Cimino ever said?
Hello?
That's usually a riot. He is very clever. He's a very energetic little bunny, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you laugh out loud listening to the show sometimes?
Sometimes I do. And actually, when I met him in person, it was even
funnier.
And, you know, he's just a ball of... Wow, he's a ball of fire at all times. You'd think that he's on something.
No, he's not. He's actually been the cleanest guy in the life. Yeah.
Yeah, he's absolutely the cleanest guy I know.
It's weird. I mean, you would hope he'd come positive for something, but nothing negative every time. Yes. Do you laugh on the show? Is it a very amusing show? Because I tend to be more the grounded, more calm, bored person. Somebody opened the door.
Yes, you are the grounded one. He is the, you're the straight man.
Yeah.
The
Oh, that's the ectomobile that's going off. For a minute, I thought, it's the ectomobile. We're okay. I thought we were going to have to leave the building.
I thought it was the Godzilla alarm, but no, we're good.
So you were saying I'm the more grounded, calm one that has to retain John?
Yeah, and you're the straight man, you know, the abbot.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, but when you compared it without John.
Without John, you're not the straight man.
No, absolutely, no. I'm a little crooked.
Yeah, you know, a little crooked.
Bent to the left. But anyway, let's see. Oh, my God, we're almost at 25 minutes. We almost did a perfect 30 minutes. I only like to do 30 minutes on the show, but sometimes John doesn't shut up, and you'll hear me going, okay, I guess we're going for an hour on this one, you know?
Well, yeah, and I love when you have Johnny on the show, and you're both arguing about different... You both think you're talking about two different things, but you're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was the...
Funny. Like an old married couple.
Yeah, and you're both arguing over the Justice League pilot.
Yes, yeah, and we were both wrong.
We both had no clue.
We were both talking about the same show. Afterwards, I looked it up. I go, I was talking about the one with David Ogden Stiers. You go, no, one was supposed to be like 90210. It was supposed to be like Friends. I said, no, it was in the 80s. He goes, no, it was in the 90s. It was the same one.
Right, absolutely the same
and
one.
You were just chuckling, going, those two idiots, they have no idea that they're both talking about the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I still can't believe John Cimino didn't know anything about the Green Arrow
bow and arrow. Exactly. I was like, he's raided so many dead grandmother's attics to sell his crap at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 to 90 every Sunday, and Saturday and Sunday beginning in December. You would think he would have come across that by now.
Absolutely. So she forgot, likes to, you know, specialize in superhero items.
Right?
And that same place at Bow and Arrow was also marketed for Planet of the Apes.
Oh, it was?
Yes, it was.
I didn't, but it wasn't green?
No, it was not green.
It was the Planet of the Apes? It was the same set?
It was the same exact set with Planet of the Apes artwork on it. But if you've ever watched the movies or the TV series or even the cartoon, bow and arrows. There was a bow in the Planet of the Apes Treehouse playset.
Yeah.
From Mego.
But they probably just repurposed that from someone else.
Action Jackson.
Oh, I loved Action Jackson. When I was a kid, they were like the poor man's G.I. Joe.
Right.
Because you used to be able to buy them at the Five and Dime.
Right.
And they had tons of outfits, but they weren't as expensive as G.I. Joe.
Right. And the figures were horrible. They'd fall apart.
Oh, yeah. But they were the Mego line, so you could put them on with your Mego favorite. Though I do think, wasn't Action Jackson 7 inches? Was he shorter than the Mego hero guy?
No, he was marketed as 8 inches.
Oh, he was. Okay. I could have sworn he was a little shorter, though. I remember when they did the Teen Titans figures. Maybe they were seven inches. They were shorter because I had Aqualad. I do believe they made a Speedy.
They made Speedy, Aqualad,
Kid Flash?
Kid Flash, and Wonder Girl.
Oh, they did. I think only had Aqualad.
But by you having Aqualad makes me very jealous because I never had
have Aqualad. I remember thinking he looked like a young Han Solo because I had him like right around 1977. I had that figure, and then that was about it. I remember we moved in 78, and my dad was like, you can only take like one box of stuff. And I lost everything. My G.I. Joe helicopters, my G.I. Joe yellow set where he met the mummy's tomb. Remember that with the six wheels, the rover, and went in the water?
Yeah,
all that stuff. I had to jettison the whole thing. And I sit there and go, why? Why didn't I keep? Because there was no room in our new house. So it's like, well, get rid of some of your junk. You're grown up now. You don't need these baby toys. I'm like, but I want them. And I've spent the rest of my life looking for them. I'm happy to see photos of them now. I mean, that's why the internet's great. Who posted the SWAT team photo the other day? Was that you or was that Chris?
That was Chris, yes.
Because I had those, but I was counting the figures. I think he had more figures than there were characters on the show, and I was confused. Yeah. There was TJ McCabe, Hondo, Street, Luca, Deke was his name?
Deacon.
And that's five.
That should be it.
But there was at least seven pitchers in that shot, and I don't know where he got the other two from.
He may have just had
extra SWAT guys.
He had
the van still, which always looked like a mail truck.
Right. Well, we always call it a bread truck.
Yeah. Well, the bread truck, too. Yeah. But those were cheesy. Were those meager? They felt cheesy.
They were cheesy. I believe that was the LGN line.
Yeah, I mean, the plastic was like, this isn't good plastic.
And the heads would melt rather quickly in the sunlight. Yeah.
Yeah, and the hats. I remember the hat was hard to keep on. That would be the thing you would lose all the time,
right.
The SWAT cap. But it came with an M16 rifle.
That's correct. M16 rifle, body armor, boots.
Yep.
I believe they also had...
They had a police car for the rookies. Yeah, they did have walkie-talkies. And then they had the rookies and emergency, though I never was an emergency fan. Randolph Mantooth was not my guy.
was Roy DeSoto and Johnny Gage?
Yeah, Gage. Gage and Soto, yeah.
Yep.
And Milner was, what was he, Adam 12, what were those two characters' name?
Give me a second.
What was the young guy's name?
Jim Reed was the young guy, the rookie.
Who was also on Battlestar Galactica in 1980.
That is correct. He played Boxy.
Yeah, the grown-up version.
The adult Boxy.
Pete Malloy. Well, that's right. What was his name? Kevin? I keep thinking it's Kevin. Some Irish-sounding name. I might be totally wrong on that. Whoever that guy was who was the rookie on Adam 12 grew up to be on Battlestar Galactica.
No, Lord.
Which I did watch when it came on in 78, but I watched it because it was on, but I don't think I ever really liked it. Battlestar Galactica. There was something about it. It seemed like you were watching a ripoff of Star Wars and you knew it.
I think that's the way all the kids felt.
There was no Quark with Richard Benjamin and the Audrey Lander sisters, the twins.
Yes. So they
remember Quark, don't you?
Slap, boom, boom, move.
Yeah. See, that was on for like 10 episodes. I used to like that show. I was never, was it Lost Planet that had Sulu, Chekhov on it? It was like a Canadian space show. You ever saw that one?
That does not sound familiar.
Oh, all right. It was they all wore the jumpsuits. Did you ever see Space 1999? Hated that show.
I believe that was on WWE.
Channel 9.
Yeah. 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe. It was. Yeah.
Yeah, horrible show.
I hated it. Yeah. Nothing ever could compete to the real deal. Star Trek was it. Channel 11 had Star Trek on. Lost in Space was kind of like, eh.
I was not a Lost in Space guy either.
The black and white Lost in Space, first year was good. It was serious. Then it became a campy color nonsense.
Yeah, it's a product of its time.
It was. Never a big fan of Time Tunnel, you?
I remember enjoying it as a kid, but I've recently watched some reruns on MeTV.
Yeah.
And
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea?
You used to love that as well.
I did. What was it, Sea View?
The Sea View with Admiral Nelson and Captain...
Bird?
I can't think of the...
How about, was
David,
there...
David Hedison. Felix Slider.
Was there... Oh, was that him?
Yep. That was Felix Slider from Live and Let Die.
Was there a show about Journey to the Center of the Earth, too?
Cartoon.
There was a cartoon, and then Fantastic Voyage was a cartoon.
Yes, both were cartoons with characters that weren't even in the book.
Pat Harrington was the voice on those shows, who was also Snyder on One Day at a Time.
Yeah. This is it, yes.
But if you ever watch those shows, it says Pat, he just died like about a month ago.
And I believe Ted Knight was one of the stars.
Ted Knight was on like everything back then, too.
Yeah. Everything done by Filmation or Hanna-Barbera.
And Birdman was the guy that was the announcer on Laugh-In, wasn't he? Or was that Birdman? You know what I'm talking about? Gary Owens.
He was also on the Green Hornet.
He was on the Green Hornet?
Yes, he was the television announcer for Britt Reed's TV station.
I did not know that. Was he on camera?
Yeah, absolutely on camera.
Oh, I don't remember that. It was hard. I don't remember even seeing all the Green Hornets. They only lasted like 20 episodes, right?
Less than that. I think I want to say 12, maybe.
Well, they never aired those much.
The Sci-Fi Network did it back when the Seth Rogen movie came out.
Oh, when I was a kid, they actually did movies where they had the Green Hornet, and you would go to a double feature. It was a Bruce Lee thing. You saw some of those?
Episodes. Yes, absolutely. Yep. They did it for a number of TV shows. Man from U.N.C.L.E. is also famous.
Night Stalker had a couple of them, too, joined together. Very bad as well.
Yeah, it was good for guys like us that didn't get to see them first run on TV. And the Green Hornet was very rarely shown in syndication, so those spliced together movies were...
Quick, $6 Million Man or the $7 Million Man? Who was cooler?
$6 Million Man.
$7 Million Man was a bad guy. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
He was. He was his rival that came on the show once. And they had a bionic dog, too, one episode. That was on the Bionic Woman.
Maximilian. His name was
Mac. The dogs. Yes, it was. Everyone's nodding their head because of the million thing. Everyone here, quick, what was the doctor that put them together's name?
Bernie Capel?
No, that was on the Love Boat. Dr. Rudy Wells?
Rudy Wells.
Yeah. And then Oscar Goldman, who just passed away about a month or so ago.
Not too long ago.
Who played his character in the movie that was called something else?
Cyborg?
Yeah, but in the movie, it wasn't Oscar, it wasn't Richard Anderson, it was...
I don't know.
Darren McGavin.
That's the right. You are right. Or was he
played Spencer. It was the same type of character, but yeah. Anyway, that's about it.
Wow.
We're getting, people are starting to get around to Scott Roush is here, too. Let's see. Oh, my God. We're at 33 minutes. That's too long. So say goodnight, Scott.
And
oh, no, no. You got to say, I'm sorry. Say the right. Say it right. Say it right.
And that's that.
And that's that. Look at that. We just did a podcast without Cimino. Who needs John? He's replaceable. I tell him that all the time.
Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.